दिशाभिवर्जिपत्यन्ते गाम्यागामानविप्सते उत्तरिष्यामि दास्येऽहम् दृष्ट्यागतोऽसि भद्रं ते गाम्या गामानविप्सते उद्वहिष्यामि तांस्तेऽहम् सबन्धवेरिन्दमान्
This, fortunately for me,
Agatosi,
you have come here.
You have come here.
Madram,
Madram,
auspiciousness.
Tay,
unto you, Ramya,
sensual,
Kama,
Rama,
desired enjoyable objects.
Abhipsase,
you want to enjoy.
You want to enjoy.
Udvahishyami,
Udvahishyami.
I shall supply.
Dhan.
All of them.
Unto you.
Aham. I.
Swabandhubi.
Oh my friend.
Arindama.
Killer of the enemy. Translation: O killer of the enemy, you have somehow or other come here. It is certainly great fortune for me. I wish all auspicious things for you. You have a desire to satisfy your senses, and all my friends and I shall try our best in all respects to fulfill your desires. However, the living entity comes down into this material world for sense gratification and its intelligence represented by the woman gives him the proper direction by which he can satisfy his senses to their best capacity. In actuality, however, intelligence comes from the Super Soul or the Supreme Personality of God, and he gives full facility to the living entity who has come down to this material world, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Those who run the spiritual path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Guru, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. When a devotee is advancing toward spiritual realization, his only aim is the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not care for any other material or spiritual activity. King Paranjana represents the ordinary living entity. A woman represents the ordinary living entity's intelligence. Combined, the living entity enjoys his material senses, and the intelligence supplies all paraphernalia for his enjoyment. As soon as he enters the human form, the living entity is entrapped by family tradition, nationalism, customs, etc. These are all supplied by the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the living entity, under the bodily conception of God, utilizes intelligence to his best capacity in order to satisfy his senses. 37. My dear Lord, I have just arranged the city of 9 gates for you so you can have all kinds of sense gratification. You may live here for 100 years and everything for your sense gratification will be supplied. Purport, Dharmartha Kama Moksha Nam Dada Samprapti Vitavaha. The wife is the cause of all kinds of success in religion, economic development, sense gratification, ultimately salvation. When one accepts the wife, it is to be understood that he is being helped in his progressive march towards liberation. In the beginning of life, a person is trained as a brahmachari and then allowed to marry a suitable girl and become a householder. If one is thoroughly trained in household life, he finds all facilities for human life, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Everything is there if it is executed according to regulated principles. How can I expect to unite with others who are neither conversant about sex nor capable of knowing how to enjoy life while living or after death, such as persons like animals, because they do not know the process of sense enjoyment in this life and after death? Purport, there are 8,400,000 species of life, and there are also many different living conditions. In the lower grades of life, there is no system for sexual intercourse. In the upper grades, there is sex, but the insects and animals do not know how to actually enjoy sex life. In the human form of life, however, there is full knowledge of how to enjoy sex. Indeed, there are many so-called philosophers who give directions on how to enjoy sex life. There's even a science called Kama Shastra, which is the science of sex. In human life, there's also such provisions as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. There's no sex life except in the grihastha or household or ashram. A brahmachari is not allowed any sex, the vanaprastha voluntary refrains from sex, and the sannyasi is completely renounced. The karmis do not practice brahmacharya, vanaprastha, or sannyas life, for they're very much interested in grihastha life. In other words, a human being is very much materially inclined. Indeed, all living entities are materially inclined. They prefer grihastha life because there is obsession for sex. The karmis think the other statuses of life are worse than animal life, for animals also have sex, whereas the brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyasis completely give up sex. Karmis, therefore, abhor these orders of spiritual life. Text 39, the woman continued, in this material world, a householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, the getting of children, sons, and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. A householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices, which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All these this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. But according to Vedic instructions, there are two paths for human activities. One is the Pravritti Marga, and the other is the Nivritti Marga. The basic principle for either of these paths is religious life. In animal life, there's only Pravritti Marga. Pravritti Marga means sense enjoyment, and Nivritti Marga means spiritual advancement. In the life of animals and demons, there is no conception of Nivritti Marga, nor is there any actual conception of Pravritti Marga. Pravritti Marga maintains that even though one has a propensity for sense gratification, he can gratify his senses according to the directions of the Vedic injunctions. For example, everyone has the propensity for sex life, but in demonic civilization, sex is enjoyed without restriction. According to Vedic culture, sex is enjoyed under Vedic instructions. Thus, the Vedas give direction to civilized human beings to enable them to satisfy their propensities for sense gratification. In the Nirvritti Marga, however, on the path of transcendental realization, sex is completely forbidden. Social orders are divided into four parts, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, and only in household life can the Nirvritti Marga be encouraged or accepted according to Vedic instructions. In the orders of brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas, there are no facilities for sex. In this verse, the woman is advocating Nirvritti Marga only and is discouraging the path of Nirvritti Marga. She clearly says that the yakis or transcendentalists are concerned only with spiritual life, cannot imagine happiness in Pravritti Marga. In other words, the man who follows the Vedic principles enjoys the materialistic way of life, not only by becoming happy in this life, but also in the next life by being promoted to the heavenly planets. In this life, such a person gets all kinds of material opulence, such as sons and grandsons, because he's always engaged in various religious functions. Material distresses are birth, old age, disease, and death, and those who are interested in Pravritti Marga hold various religious functions at the time of birth, old age, disease, and death. Without caring for the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death, they are addicted to performing the special functions according to the Vedic rituals and ceremonies. Factually, however, Pravritti Marga is based on sex life. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Jan Maitunadi Hirmegi Sukham Hiku Cham, a householder who is too much addicted to Pravritti Marga is actually called a Hirmegi, not a Grihastha. Although the Grihastha desires sense gratification, he acts according to the Vedic instructions. The Hirmegi, however, who is interested only in sense gratification, does not follow any Vedic instructions. The Grihamedi engages himself as an advocate of sex life and also allows the sons and daughters to engage in sex and to be deprived of any glorious end in life. The Grihastha enjoys sex life in this life as well as in the next, but the Grihamedi does not know what the next life is about because he is simply interested in sex in this life. On the whole, when one is too much inclined towards sex, he does not care for the transcendental spiritual life. In this age of Kali especially, no one is interested in spiritual advancement. Even though it is sometimes found that one may be interested in spiritual advancement, it's most likely to accept the bogus merit of spiritual life, being misguided by so many pretenders. No killer of the enemy, you have somehow or other come here. It is certainly great fortune for me. I wish all auspicious things for you. you have a great desire to satisfy your senses, and all my friends and I shall try our best in all respects to fulfill your desires. My dear Lord, I have arranged the city of nine gates for you so you can have all kinds of sense gratification. You may live here for 100 years and everything for your sense gratification will be sublime. How can I expect to unite with others who are neither conversant about sex nor capable of knowing how to enjoy life while living or after death? Such foolish persons are like animals because they do not know the process of sense enjoyment is life and after death. In this material world, a householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, beginning of children, sons, and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such a thing. So here the intelligence is speaking to Puranjana and advising him to engage in Pravritti Marga, or the path of enjoyment as a human being. As Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports, the animals don't have too much of a choice. They're engaged only in enjoying in the material world. But even that is limited because they don't have choice. They engage in eating, sleeping, making, and defending. But they don't have a choice of liberation at all. And as far as their enjoyment is concerned, that is also limited because their intelligence is limited. Whereas the human being has higher intelligence, therefore he can choose to enjoy or not enjoy, and he can also choose what type of enjoyment, how much enjoyment, and various types of enjoyment that are not available to the animals. So in this sense, the human body is more suitable. And that, of course, was stated in the beginning where Puranjana was looking around everywhere, and finally he found a proper city to live in with proper gates and parks, etc. So he was given facility in the human body. But besides the body, he also needs the intelligence. So the intelligence is very important for the human being to operate and enjoy within the material body. So he has a specific body, the human body, and he has human intelligence. And with that he can begin to enjoy. So that enjoyment part is carried out by actually two ways. One is to simply try to enjoy it and use your intelligence in that way without any scriptural injunctions. The other is to follow some rules, the rules of scripture. So when we follow the rules of scripture, that is called Pravritti Marga. If you don't follow the rules of scripture, it's not even Pravritti Marga in the true sense. It is simply trying to enjoy without rule and regulation. So it's more or less like animal life. So here the intelligence is telling to follow the rules of Varnashram, and particularly the Grihastha Ashram. And in this way you can enjoy very nicely. Of course, we should understand that in order to be a proper Grihastha, then one has to become a brahmachari also. So there is some restriction on the Grihastha life if one is following this proper path. So therefore, the Grihastha has some sense of control in his life because he follows the rules of Dharma, first becomes a brahmachari. And if he does this, then he can enjoy artha, dharma, and kama, these three things. And in this life he can enjoy, in the next life he can enjoy. He gets good results because of his punyas. So in this way he can continue in the material world. That, of course, is the philosophy of karma and monks also. Let us simply do sacrifices and follow these particular types of worship, and we can enjoy in this body in the next lifetime. And we don't have to worry about liberation or anything. So one can be completely happy simply by going from body to body in the material world and guaranteeing a good body by following the system of Pravritti Marga, life after life. So that is, of course, true to some extent,
But of course, there are also exceptions or accidents, as we see in the case of King Nriga. King Nriga made a mistake and gave the cow twice, and therefore he got cursed and became a lizard. So one doesn't always get that enjoyment in spite of being very, very careful. So there is a problem there in that type of arrangement. The other problem, of course, is that what is that happiness? Here the intelligence is saying, yes, this happiness is unknown to people who renounce the world. So it is considered very good. But we also know that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you have a lower taste and a higher taste. So those who have a higher taste find renunciation of material enjoyment is okay, because we have higher enjoyment in spiritual life. So in other words, the spiritual person gets more satisfaction from Atma and Supreme Lord than from material enjoyment. So the idea that the material world gives more happiness is just an illusion. So that, of course, is the conviction of materialists. Let us enjoy in the material world. That is the only type of enjoyment there is. So people on the path of Pravritti Marga or Karma Yoga, they are dedicated to this process fully, and they go from body to body. Problem is there that we can't always guarantee the future. You can get a bad body. Another, of course, is after you enjoy it, you can fall from that position, and then you have to do more punyas to get up again and enjoy. You can go to Svargaloka and fall down again. Then you have to do more punyas and go up and enjoy, and you fall down again. So it is temporary. You have to keep working in the material world. There is some srama. There is some labor involved in getting that enjoyment. So yes, you can enjoy in the material world in a certain sense, but the labor is involved. The other problem, of course, is when it's continued interrupted by having to change body. So you get one body, then you have to give up that enjoyment and lose it, then you have to start all over and get another body and then start gaining again. So the problem of death is also there. And one cannot be completely free of disease in old age also. One can minimize it and go up to Brahmaloka, and that is minimized, but still, problems are there for the jiva and the material world. So the happiness is not pure happiness in that sense. The other problem, of course, is that even if you get the perfect happiness in the material world, it is not real happiness, because it's only happiness caused by illusion, ahankara. If we don't have the ahankara there, the jiva will say, what is this? It's got nothing to do with me. It's material, it needs spiritual. So that illusion of happiness is there for the jiva in the material world. And ultimately, though the jiva doesn't realize it, it's not satisfying, because it is artificial. It is an illusion, like the happiness in a dream. So, therefore, there are problems with this philosophy of happiness in the material world. The hope of the Karma Yoga is that ultimately people will understand this. They will get tired of this material happiness. They will understand it doesn't really give us satisfaction. And then they become more detached as they get up to Sattva-guna, and then they have the possibility of understanding about Atma, get Atma-jnana, and they begin pursuing spiritual life. So then they go to Jnana Yoga, Sangha Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. So this, of course, is the arrangement of the Pravritti Marga, so that one can come to Pravritti Marga and progress. And if one does not follow even the Pravritti Marga with the rules and regulations, and simply tries to enjoy, what happens? Generally, we degrade. And eventually we end up in lower species of life. We fall from our position as a human being and we go downward. So yes, you get your enjoyment, but in a more limited way. So this is the possibility. Or one can go to hellish planets and enjoy there. Lower subterranean heavenly planets, they're called Vilasvarga. So one can go to the hellish planets and enjoy there also very nicely. But limitation again is there. There's no sunlight, etc. So the material happiness has its limitations, purposely put there by the Supreme Lord. so that the living entity eventually becomes frustrated.
In the second verse, intelligence is saying that I am a rational.
Hmm. Well, I suppose we can say because due to one's previous life of as a human being, we make certain decisions, and therefore we get a better body in next lifetime. But it's arranged by intelligence.
This is a realistic. One has to go to the Pravati Marga and then you take the Pravati Marga?
No, not necessary. Krishna says you don't have to do that. He recommends don't do it in Bhagavad Gita and in Bhagavatam.
How can you become tired? Unless you become tired in the Pravati Marga, the realistic is not important.
Well, the other way is mercy. Mercy of devotees, association of devotees, power of bhakti can inspire a person.
Sometimes we find that devotee would renounce everything in the beginning. Later they do the same thing which they should not have done.
Well, that of course is because their renunciation is not fixed. It is artificial. The process of bhakti creates renunciation, but that will be after some time. So then one can jump to that platform without qualification and fall back again also.
What exactly, when you say material happiness, what exactly does it mean?
To have senses working properly, to have minimum of disease, etc., long lifespan, lots of money, a good family, etc., all these things.
Manoj, in terms of how does it experience that happiness? I mean, what part of the jiva is the jiva which experiences happiness?
No, it's through ahankar. The jiva is the experiencer, but he only experiences by identifying with the body, and the body has senses, and the senses get their happiness by contacting sense objects. So the eye sees beautiful things, the tongue tastes beautiful, delicious food, etc. So it's only due to this identity with body. And then senses are stimulated, and that causes the happiness.
Sometimes somebody is born blind or deaf, or then there's no chance of...
Yeah, so they're limited by karma to certain types of enjoyments.
What type of enjoyments are we getting in Krishna? Hmm? What type of enjoyments?
Same as here, but they're limited, there's no sunlight, etc. Many different problems are there. But they can enjoy without following dharma. That is their main idea. So they enjoy nicely, no dharma. They don't have to follow anything.
So much of labor is involved.
Huh?
So much of labor is involved. Labor struggle is involved to get material happiness. When does the jiva does not see his activities for spiritual protection as a labor and enjoys it?
What's that?
When does the living state does not see his activities as struggle is involved for spiritual happiness?
When he doesn't see?
Yeah.
When does
he? When is that stage?
Because
he doesn't see his activities
but
his
professional
struggle, it's a happiness. Real happiness.
Does he realize? Oh, I mean spiritual things.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. If he develops taste, then it's not a struggle because the higher taste, by that higher taste, he does it naturally. So because he's attracted to the Lord, not attracted to other things. So it's not a struggle to control the senses at that point.
Thank you.